the Gunma Prefectural Convention. I mean, they talk about Japan being wild in the 90s. I don't think those guys ever understood what it was going to be like to go to a political convention for Gunma Prefecture. Of course, there got wild. An 88-year-old man decided to tell everyone how to fix Japan's birth problem. And I've talked about it many times. The government trying to get people together, awkward and weird. The government trying to give people money to have babies. Okay, it only works if you really want to have babies in the first place. They've had some solutions. This guy, he's like, you know what? Shut up. I've got this. I've got it solved. I've got it worked out. You don't need to talk anymore. You just listen to me. Everyone, shoop. Listen to the man speak. He said, it's not the government's job to supplement the economic burden of having a child. I mean, I guess very technically that could be true if the government didn't want people to have more babies. So if the government wants the population to increase, if the government wants people to have babies, then it is the government's responsibility to try to make that happen, to try to support people in their efforts to make babies. Real wages in Japan have dropped for 26 months in a row. So basically, inflation's gone up, wages have been stagnant, so your real earning potential has dropped every month for the last 2 years and more. So then what is the solution? He's saying, like, look, we're not giving you money. Giving you money isn't going to do it. And he's actually, I actually think, partially right. I think giving money is a good idea because you want babies that are born to, you know, have food and stuff so they survive into being more than just babies. So what do you do? If men have their act together, women will, without fail, have their children. Even if you don't ask, they will think, I want to have a baby for the sake of the husband I love. Do men ask for babies? Like, I would say if you took the most traditional view of the male-female relationship, it's generally the woman who wants the babies. I'm not saying that's true. I'm not saying it's universal, but I'm saying it's a stereotype, and a stereotype based on just a drop of reality. It's generally not the men who are gung-ho about having kids. I actually know a couple people who do, guys, who do want to have kids and they want to have more and more kids. So 100%, I know that's a real thing. But I'm thinking if we're talking about the population of the country, so we have to do broad strokes, general swaths, men don't tend to go around asking for babies. They do ask for the baby-making process, but they don't ask for babies themselves. So he's making it sound like having a baby is a reward. And while I wouldn't say it's a punishment, it is absolutely not a reward. It can be rewarding, but I would say that comes later. He's also very much and heavily implying that money isn't the issue, but I don't think money's the issue. I think work-life balance is the issue. I've talked about this a billion times now. So I'm very hesitant to say the same thing again and again and again every week. So I haven't said it in a long time, so I am going to say it now. The work-life balance in Japan is the reason why people are not having babies. People are not having babies because people do not get together. People do not get together because they don't have time to get together. They don't have time to meet people and form relationships and have relationships outside of work because they're working all the time. Therefore, they don't think about having kids. They've created a situation where women are so career-focused, but then give them no support if they want to have children as well as a career. They don't give enough people enough options. And this is, again, the government's responsibility. If the government wants the population to increase in Japan, the government is going to have to do something to make that happen. And I think the first thing they need to do is put a really significant restriction on overtime. They have found, at maximum, people tend to be able to work for about 6 hours a day. There might be, like, again, unique individuals. They can do 12, 13, 14, 15 hours of solid work that's really good for the entire time. The average person isn't, and you're not hiring individual rock stars all the time. You're hiring average people most of the time. So making them stay and work late is not beneficial to you. It's not beneficial to the company. It's not beneficial to the population. It's not beneficial to human relationships, which is what, at the end of the day, this is all about, which is exactly what this 88-year-old man does not understand because he has not changed his thinking since those wild parties in the 80s and 90s. Previously, we talked about a Chinese man who, I think it was Ironhead something, Ironhead Dong maybe. He came to Japan from China. And he went to Yasukuni Shrine. And Yasukuni Shrine is very controversial because it is where soldiers, veterans and stuff, they are entombed there. It's where people go to pray for them. But World War II, a lot of war crimes. So it is seen internationally, China and Korea specifically, as a place that has enshrined war criminals. So politicians going to pray there is very controversial internationally and whatnot. This guy came and he said, I'm going to make a statement. His statement didn't match his actions. His statement was that they shouldn't release water from Fukushima into the ocean. He said, since you guys are treating the world like a toilet, I'm going to treat this place like a toilet. And he walked up, he climbed up on like a thing that said Yasukuni Shrine, like a big pole made of stone. He peed on it and he spray painted toilet in red. He went off back to China, didn't get arrested. And the Chinese police are saying, which I actually think is a fine response. Since there is no extradition treaty and the relationship isn't that good, I don't see why you would extradite one of your citizens back to Japan. But there were two other people involved. So you know there was someone holding the camera and the police want that guy. And they have all three of their names. There's also the guy who bought the spray paint. That guy was arrested the other day. Now here's the question. They did, in total, 4.2 million yens worth of damage to that post. So the spray paint, I guess they have to clean it off. Pee, I mean, you just wash it off. I don't see how that comes to 4.2 million yen. But I'm not arguing because I don't know anything about it. I guess trying to get the paint off without damaging the rock, and maybe it's marble or something special. I don't know. But are they going to lay it all on this one guy? Or are they going to try to use that to lure the other guys back? Because the other guy, the first guy, the guy in the video said very clearly, I'm not going back to Japan. Why would I? I went there, committed a crime, filmed it, and stuck it online. So yeah, it actually makes sense that he wouldn't come back. I don't think he is going to come back. I think his friend who's been arrested here is screwed. The question is, do they get the guy who filmed it, the cameraman? That'll be an interesting question. But if that guy's smart, he's back in China already as well. We have also talked about, this is kind of like an updates of recent stories episode. We've talked several times over the last month about the gubernatorial election process in Tokyo, where they put up posters. And the NHK party, which is a legitimate, in its sense, party, because it's a real party, they're just not particularly serious about the issues. They're not actually trying to push things through in a serious way. They're there making a mockery of democracy, which I actually don't have a problem with. It's just I sort of think some of the stuff they say could be useful to actually say in a serious way. That's a whole side issue. I think underneath they have beliefs, but they're not actually getting those beliefs across, which I think is a wasted opportunity. What they did as a party is they bought all these spaces on these things. So for a very limited period of time in Japan, you're allowed to put up a poster, your election poster, as you want to become the governor of Tokyo. They bought up a whole bunch of extra ones. And then they sold them to just anybody. So we had a girl who's like a kickboxer, a girl who wanted people to follow them on social media, someone who put a picture of their dog up, someone who just put up a poster, the same poster many, many times. A woman who's in the NHK party, who is adult actress, she put up pictures of herself, very lightly censored, in a full spread eagle pose, basically. So they went out to the people and they said, hey, do you think we need to change the rules? Not surprisingly, 76.2% said they feel there should be a revision in the candidate posters law and the rules that govern them therein. I mean, I actually think this has proven a weird point in that you got to kind of take the government stuff seriously if you want people to actually take it seriously. So again, I do believe there is value to people trying to exploit these rules and trying to show, make a mockery of government. But at the same time, I flip-flop back and forth. I mean, also, how else are you supposed to get anything done if you don't start taking it seriously? Japan. Last week, I mentioned that Japan introduced new banknotes. There's 1,000 yen, 5,000 yen, 10,000 yen note. There's new ones. Very exciting. I got paid last week. I went to the bank and I got a whole bunch of money up. Did not get any new bills. I don't expect to actually see one for a while. Someone's going to roll into the office and be like, hey, I got the new bill. And everyone's actually going to crowd around and look at it. I do get vaguely interested in it. It's only exciting for about 10 minutes. But still, you know, it's a new thing. So everyone wants to see the new thing and maybe look at the new security features and hold it up to the light and stuff. But a new run of money means that people who collect things like money got a new thing to be interested in. And I learned a little bit about the money system, which was interesting. On Yahoo Auction, if you go on Yahoo Auction, you can buy 1,000, 5,000, 10,000 yen bills, but it's auctioned, so the price is going up and up and up. Some of these are selling for more than 40 times more than the actual value of the bill itself, officially. Collectors add value by saying, you know, it's rare or I want this thing. What do the collectors want? So this was the bit I would have known nothing about. The serial number on the first run of bills has a double A on it, so it'll be AA. And that means that is part of the first run of those bills. When it gets all the way through, it switches to AB. That's the second run of bills, and then AC, and it keeps going and going and going. Once it gets to ZZ, so it goes through the whole alphabet, they hit the start again, but they change the color of the ink. So that was another thing I didn't know about. If you get AA and AA, and you compare the two ink colors, you can tell which one came first and which one came later. A 1,000 yen note with 777777 on it. That's six sevens. I may have said more. I didn't count. I count people shooting bullets in movies, but I didn't count the sevens. I just read off a piece of paper. Six sevens on in a row is right now worth 28,000 yen. So the serial number itself, if it's unique, collectors will pay for that. This one I don't understand, so I'm going to go looking for it. If you have ZZ5555, Z, that is worth 500,000 yen, half a million yen for a bill with that serial number. So should you get one of these new bills, take a moment if it's still early days and look at the serial number. Maybe you got one of those double A's. Maybe you got an AA with some unique lettering in it. You might be able to sell that online for a profit. I do know license plates. Like, you can pay for license plates in Japan, and the Yakuza always get ... 8. So it basically has nothing, just the number 8 in it. And those, I think, are super, super expensive. It's like a, it's funny to me that it's a Yakuza thing to get this license plate. The government sells you that license plate for money, but then you're basically telling the police, I am, or I think I am, a Yakuza, which doesn't seem like the greatest idea. I think maybe Yakuza are not very good criminals all the time. Japan editors from Kodansha went to California, and they went to like a convention. They started speaking to up-and-coming wannabe artists. Like, I want to be a manga artist. Wannabe is a bit mean. They want to be manga artists. They started talking about, like, how do you improve? How do you improve your skills? How do you improve your art? How do you improve your story? How do you improve your structure? How should your character design reflect the character in the book? How does it affect the side characters? These are all really useful, interesting stuff. These guys obviously know what they're talking about. Then they got into, Americans spend too much time making merch. For those of you in the audio version of the podcast, I am now pulling my shirt back to make sure the Chunk McBeef Chest Academy of Martial Arts shirt I am wearing is seen within the borders of the video. Again, there's a difference in the way the world works, or how the cost of living. I don't know specifically. I've never lived in America, and I certainly haven't lived in America in modern times. But I'm going to go ahead and guess it's more expensive to live in most places in America than it is to live in Japan. Japan has a lot of services. Despite our earlier story of like declining wages over the last 26 months, if you have the same salaries before and you live a frugal life, you actually live quite well. All the stories I read online, though, I mean, it is stories online, so it's a little desperate. So I don't want to make any strong statements about what it's like to live in America, but I'm betting making money is important to survival in America. And if you want to be a manga artist in America, let's just say it is unlikely you're going to get a massive payday right away. So you have to find some way to supplement your art to make money for your art. And it seems like the way to do that would be merch. So I do sell Chunk My Beef Chest t-shirts. I have books that I am publishing that I'm selling. I have other things I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to be greedy. I'm trying to supplement my income so I can do this stuff that I want to do. If I ever got to a point where I could quit my 40-hour a week job and do this full time, that would be like a dream come true for me. But realistically speaking, I know that's not likely. So I keep the 40-hour full-time job. Some people would say that means I don't believe in myself, but I have to feed children. I have a very realistic view on the chances of success in any format, podcast, YouTube, streaming, or whatever. I know the reality, and therefore I know I should keep my 40-hour a week job. Retirement could be really good for me, because most people who work and work and work and then they retire, they don't know what to do with themselves. Whereas I, if I just keep doing this, I would have a full set of things I enjoy doing in my free time, and now it becomes all my free time. So then maybe it could actually be popular. I could be one of those really old people who gets popular on the internet for just being old. Unfortunately, those people all seem to be good at something. I'm actually thinking about the streamers. Like, there's the Call of Duty granny lady, and then there's the old guy who used to be like a sniper in the military, and he streams. And he, but he like uses actual calculations and has like a notepad, and then like starts nailing people miles across the map. Yeah, they have skills, and the granny's good. She's really good at Call of Duty. I'm not actually good at anything. I think now I've actually seen my actual fatal flaw as to why I have to keep my day job. And it's not because of dedication or belief in myself. It's because I'm not actually good at anything. Oh, fuck. That was the saddest story I've ever done in my life. The Japanese government has set a policy on fully autonomous weapon platforms. This has actually come up in NATO, so it's not like Japan just did this out of nowhere. I cannot talk about any military aspect of Japan and not immediately start thinking about, are they developing Gundam? As we all know, Gundam are piloted. It's an AI system that learns as it does combat and connects with the pilot. And then they sort of feed off each other. I think that's a really interesting idea. The movie Atlas that came out very recently on Netflix, very mediocre movie, not bad. I mean, people were trashing it. It's not terrible. It's just there's nothing new or interesting in it, really. Nothing unique. Had the same sort of premise. Like you had to sync the pilot and the machine and the AI. And then working together, you could be a more effective fighting machine. Cha-cha-cha. That kind of stuff. They were saying that human control has to be a principle and should be maintained because human involvement is required because humans can be held accountable. So once you make a machine and that machine makes a decision and decides to like kill an orphanage, you can't really hold that machine accountable. You can turn it off, but no one actually gets punished. No one has to think about it. That does imply that there are everyone sort of involved with weapons is moral. Might be an issue as far as I'm concerned, because there are bad people and bad people would do bad things even with non-autonomous weapon platforms. Then weirdly, they got into the benefits of autonomous weapon platforms. Because there would be less human error and they have significant, it would actually deal with significant manpower shortages, which ironically is exactly what Japan is dealing with right now. Japan's population is shrinking. The military is not a particularly attractive career path. Very few people are joining the military. Therefore, the military in Japan is shrinking, is having more trouble getting people. Autonomous weapon platforms would actually be the solution. But here's where you get the... because they've done manga posters in the past, and they weren't particularly successful. But you could get nerdy dudes, manga fans and whatnot... the nerdy group is what they're actually going for. When they made manga posters, there was a target audience. That target audience didn't go for the posters alone. They did try to collect the posters and maybe went and collected some like military paraphernalia, but they did not actually join the military. But these are the people who are like technology and computers. And if you sell it that way, like you will be piloting technology and computers and things like that, working on a computer in your comfort zone and contributing to the military, that might be more appealing. So this is where it's not going to be a Gundam. It's going to be more like a guy sitting at a desk with a bank of computers and monitors and a keyboard and a controller and stuff, controlling systems from afar. But he would be in his comfort zone and probably very effective because this is sort of the environment he's used to. So there is a way to make this work if they are actually serious about it. Here's the last story. I wanted to cleanse our palate a little bit. The most popular pet names from last year. For male dogs, for the last 9 years, the most popular pet name has been Leo. I guess in Japanese it would be Leo, but, you know, I think it's like lion. The most popular female dog name for the last 9 years. So these two names have been the most popular names for the last 9 years in a row together, running in parallel. Female dog name, Coco. So you have Leo and Coco. If you have two dogs, it's a male and a female. The most popular male cat name for the last 9 years. Can you guess what it is, given the hints that just came previously? It is Leo. the most popular female cat name for the last 2 years. So this one's going to be different. I actually found this interesting because my first thought is I've heard this name before, Luna, which is, I believe, is the cat from Sailor Moon. Sailor Moon's quite old, but it's come back in a couple of iterations. So, or maybe it's still back. I'm not watching a lot of Sailor Moon these days. The most popular combined name, so this could be male dog, female dog, male cat, female cat, just overall combined pet name in Japan is, oh, this is where I should have done the quiz. I didn't have anyone do a quiz today because I didn't organize myself. We actually had a holiday yesterday. That actually seems to have made my organization worse because I do everything set on schedules and I took yesterday and did a different project because it was a day off. Did not organize a quiz. I do need people, if you would like to join the quiz, because it's like a 10-15 minute Zoom call. We could do it on Discord. Just send me a message, chunkandbeefchest@gmail.com, speakpipe.com/chunkandbeefchest. I would love to have anyone who listens to the podcast on, and we can do a little quiz. The quizzes are not meant to be hard. We have a little chat. We do the quiz. I tell the story. Give the answer. If we can get more people doing it, I actually might start keeping score. It's going to be Ninja News Japan versus the world. And then when I get real serious about it, those quizzes are going to be hard. My only concern, though, is we run into a story that the person I would be speaking to has already read about. So that's going to be the hardest part of managing that if I get to that point. But the big reveal. The most popular combined male, female, dog, cat name last year was Mugi. I feel like there should be some sort of flourish after that, but I don't know what the flourish would be. Runners up, Popcorn. It's a pretty good name for a pet. Fukuru and Giorno. I think it's Japanese, so it would be Giorno, but if I read it, it looks Italian, so I say Giorno, and I have to do a hand gesture with it. Surprisingly not on the list, Dave, best animal pet name ever. I mean, any animal should be called either Dave or Steven, regardless of gender. I mean, gender's irrelevant. If you're going to call it, if you have an animal and you want to give it a name that I would prefer, like a Penelope, but then you're just going to call it Pen, something like that. But single syllable is, to me, one of the more appealing aspects of a pet name. It should be single syllable. And I do know from my days working in dog food when I read training books, it should have a hard sound in it. So that's why Dave is a good name for an animal, because the animal doesn't often know their name. They hear that syllable in that tone, and that's what gets their attention. So when you're naming your next pet, Popcorn would actually be really good because the pop is probably what's going to get their attention. Leo, not a great choice because it has all kind of soft sounds. Coco, pretty good. Two hard sounds in a row. Luna, cats aren't paying attention to you anyways. Mugi, it's the gi, is going to actually probably get it. So if you're thinking about naming your pet, certainly I would not recommend using the most popular names in Japan. But I think it should be Dave.